Y'all have a seat. Thank you, Ben. What a wonderful way to read the Psalms. Because you know, the Psalms were actually songs. They were made to be sung. But in the Hebrew language, it sounds more musical than in the English language, so we've lost that art. However, you can rewrite the Psalms in common meter, which is what we saw right there. And it's a great way to see. There's a lot of songs that are common to us in the common meter. And I just love it when we do that. So thank you, Ben. Thanksgiving. Do you know there's about 13 psalms within the book of Psalms that are called Thanksgiving Psalms or Gratitude Psalms? There are many other psalms that give thanks to the Lord, but there are 13 that really focus on gratitude as a part of our life, as a part of worship. And so it's good for us to stop and focus on that particular theme as we talk about growing in our faith. The whole series we've been going through is called Will You Grow? We've been talking about growing spiritually. We've been talking about growing intentionally. We've been talking about growing in our faith and growing in our giving and growing in our spending time in service to the church. Tonight, of course, we're going to talk about growing in our giving. And hopefully over the last 3 or 4 weeks, you've had time to not only commit, but give some thought to what you are going to commit or how much you're going to commit. And later on in the service, you're going to have an opportunity to fill out an estimate of giving card in which you give us what you estimate you will be able to give in 2019. So what a great thing. And we can give out of gratitude, because gratitude is really what it's all about. We were talking in another church several years ago. We were talking about gratitude, and I had a man, and before I was a preacher, I was a medical group administrator. We had one doctor in our medical group who was just infamously grouchy all the time, never thankful for anything, always saw the bad side of things, and was always grumbling while he walked from place to place. One day, as I was getting on the elevator, he came in right behind me, and so we were riding the elevator up, and I said, "Well, good morning, Dr. Jones." I'll call him Dr. Jones. "Good morning, Dr. Jones. How are you doing today?" I said, "What's the matter? It's a beautiful day." "Oh, too many sick people around here." "Well, okay. I'm sorry there's so much of a problem for you, but it is kind of the source of your income, you know? So it's good to be grateful for things." And that word hallelujah keeps coming up. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's a Hebrew word, you know. It means praise God or praise be to God. And hallelujah has been part of our language of the church for as long as we've had the church. It was the language of the Jewish faith for as long as they had the language of the Jewish faith. And by the way, you know what the German word is for hallelujah? Hallelujah. You know what the Mandarin word for hallelujah is? Hallelujah. You know what the Portuguese word for hallelujah is? It's hallelujah. Hallelujah. As far as I know, hallelujah is the only word that is the same in every language around the world. Wherever they needed to say praise be to God, there was already one that had sprung forth from the Hebrew language, and they used it in the context of their worship. And so wherever you go, if you say hallelujah, people are going to know what you're saying. They'll know what it means. It means praise be to God. And it is good for us to have that kind of praise on our hearts. The Westminster Catechism, which for centuries defined the details of our faith, is a series of questions that in each question has an answer. And as you go through the catechism, you memorize those answers to the questions that are put to you. Question number one is, what is the chief end of man? What is the chief, pardon the sexist language, what is the purpose of humanity? That's another way to put it. What is the purpose of humanity? We all want to live with purpose, right? We all want to know that there's a purpose in our lives. We all want to know what that is. And so question number one in the Westminster Catechism is, what is the purpose of humanity? And the answer, hear this, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. There's no way for us to do that without being grateful, right? We cannot glorify God unless there's something that we're thankful for, unless we realize how great God is and how much He's done for us, right? And to enjoy Him forever. How do you enjoy God? Only through grace and the forgiveness that He offers, right? You can't enjoy God if He hasn't forgiven you. But knowing that He has forgiven us and taking that into our heart makes our hearts well up with gratitude, and we praise God because that is our purpose in life. Gratitude is actually our highest motive for the worship of God. Gratitude is why we come to church on Sunday. I know some people come to church because it gets them out of the house. Some people come to church because they want their kids to have a good upbringing. Some people go to church because they couldn't get a good tea time on Sunday morning. Whatever. But gratitude is our highest motive for the worship of God. And when we come into His sanctuary with thanksgiving and praise, we do that with gratitude in our hearts. It's our gift back to God, which makes God smile. Think about that. Gratitude is our gift to God, which makes God smile. I like that thought. But you know, even though gratitude is good for us to worship God and glorify God, it's also good for ourselves. Gratitude is good for us. It has physical benefits, psychological benefits, social benefits, and the beneficial effects of gratitude are becoming more and more clear to us as we do more studies. Medical tests and scientific studies have shown that gratitude lowers our blood pressure, lowers our stress levels, increases our immune system, helps us to sleep better and longer and awaken more energized and refreshed, it improves our digestion, and it improves our concentration in mental tasks. Gratitude, a life of gratitude. It has psychological effects as well. Gratitude has shown to be a critical factor in overcoming addictions. My sister, Deborah, is an addiction counselor, and they have a program out in Hattiesburg, Mississippi called Pine Grove. And she was the director of Pine Grove for a number of years, just retired a few months ago. But while she was there, they had Arab oil sheikhs and Hollywood movie stars and producers and moguls and senators and parliamentarians. People from all over the world would come there to overcome their addictions, especially their sexual addictions, but they would treat all kinds. And there came a time when they needed to change the name of their program for legal reasons. And as they were thinking about what they should change their program to, they said, well, instead of calling it Pine Grove Behavioral Treatment Center, let's call it the Gratitude Program. Because by that time, they had begun to see that gratitude was at the very heart of what they were doing, and that it fit into every single part of their program in helping people break away from their habits and their hang-ups and their addictions. And so today, it's called the Gratitude Program. And again, scientific studies have shown that if you have a practice of gratitude, If, for example, you take a journal and call it a gratitude journal and just start writing in your journal every day the things that you are thankful for, it literally rewires your brain. It causes the synapses to build different channels through your brain to help you, and especially the prefrontal cortex, which is your executive function part, where you actually get to think and make decisions. And all of the sickness that comes through addiction gets overtaken as you live a life of gratitude and practice gratitude intentionally and regularly. And so they decided to change it to the gratitude program. You have an improvement in your social life as well with a life of gratitude. You have more friends, longer friendships, less family stress, and a less of a tendency toward self-isolation. So less depression as well. And you can practice gratitude with things like a gratitude journal or talking to people and thanking them all the time. My dad was really, really good at that. He was almost famous for writing little notes. Every Sunday after church, he would go home and he would write a bunch of notes to people thanking them. Oh, your song in church was so beautiful. Or thank you, I noticed that you were trimming the bushes in the neighborhood, the common property, and we really appreciate that. And he would just write notes like that. Being a bratty kid, I didn't pay too much attention. But then when he died, and people came to his funeral, I saw somebody that I was really surprised to see. It was our next door neighbor. Our next door neighbors started out in a bad relationship with us. They wanted to argue with us about the property line. He was a lawyer. My dad was an engineer. Guess what? The engineer won. And that left some bad blood and so forth, but over the years, things got better, and they were good neighbors. We had a good relationship after a while. But the wife came to his funeral with a stack of cards, and she said, "I've been saving these cards. I want you to see them." She had a stack of cards about that thick that my dad had written to her. "Oh, I walked by your house the other day, and your flowers were so beautiful. Thank you. It really made my day." And over a period of about 30 years, she had received that many cards from him and cherished them enough to keep them in her drawer. It's the legacy of gratitude that many people remember my father by. And I praise God for that. Gratitude is also good for the world. You know, if you have a heart of gratitude, you're more likely to understand another person's point of view. You're more patient with them as they are explaining things differently. You seek justice when you are realizing how thankful you are for the things that have happened to you. You want justice to happen to other people. You look for win-win situations, and there's more cooperation even between nations. And among nations, there can be more cooperation if there's a greater sense of gratitude toward what the other nation brings to the table in the negotiations. So gratitude is good for the world as well. Tomorrow, I'm so thankful for the people of this church who are going to Panama City to share Thanksgiving with the people of Lynn Haven United Methodist Church. They told us to expect 400 to 500 people. And I asked Chef Hayward, "Would you be willing to do it?" He was, of course, was right on it. He said, 400 to 500 people, I'll go ahead and cook for 800. Hopefully they can all take to-go boxes home with them. We let the word out. Anybody who wants to help out, we need about 25 people. Well, it took me about 3 days to get 25 people who said they could. And people kept calling in, and people kept calling in. And finally, I got to saying, you know, maybe too many people, and we'll start tripping over each other. I don't want to have too many people, but come on, we can do it, you know. And then after a while, people were calling me, and I'd say, well, we really have enough. Thank you very much, but I think we have all we need. And a few of them said, too bad, I'm going anyway. Because when we have our hearts filled with gratitude, we want to share that thanksgiving with others. We want to help other people. And the response that we have seen from Hurricane Michael has truly been an amazing thing, not just within this church, but within this community and all communities around the Southeast who have put their efforts into helping these people come to a point of normalcy again. So thank you for that. And thank you for being exemplars of gratitude. With more gratitude, worship can just go off the charts in this place. We can just go off the charts with worship. You know, the Psalms that say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." There's all kinds of psalms of praising him with timbers and cymbals and lyres and harps. And so we know that if we do it right, sometimes worship is kind of a noisy thing. So I'm going to ask Ben to come up. Ben, would you come up and help me with this? I've got another psalm that I really like. And it has a refrain, "For his steadfast love endures forever." It's Psalm 136. When you go home, well, you might want to read it as well. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read each line, and then you can sing the refrain with Ben. How's the refrain going to go?
His love endures forever.
Very good. Why don't y'all do it with him? Go ahead.
His love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
Who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth on the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
A sun to rule over the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to rule over the night.
His love endures forever.
He struck Egypt through their firstborn.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
His love endures forever.
With a strong hand and an outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
He divided the Red Sea in two.
His love endures forever.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it.
His love endures forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea.
His love endures forever.
Who led his people through the wilderness.
His love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes.
His love endures forever.
Who gives food to all flesh.
His love endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven.
His love endures forever.
Amen. Thank you, Ben. I'd like to invite the band to come forward at this time, and I'd like the ushers to come forward as well, because as we come to this point, I just want to remind you that we cannot outthank and we cannot outgive God. Everything we give God is his in the first place. He has made us stewards of his creation. And it is our faithfulness in living into his creation and into his will for our lives that we're trying to do now. As we learn that more and more, we grow in our faith and we grow in our giving. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come and pass out these estimate of giving cards, okay? In a few minutes, you'll have a chance. Hopefully, you all have pens. If you don't, let us know and we'll get a pen for you. I've got my estimate of giving card right here. Now, we're not asking for an impulsive decision. We've been talking about this for a month. But we know that this is no small thing. It is no small part of our discipleship. Jesus spoke a lot about money, not because he wanted money, but because he wanted your heart. And he knew that where your treasure was, there your heart would be also. So in a few minutes, the band is going to play a song for us, and that'll give you time to think about it and pray about it. And write it down, and I just want to invite each of you to come forward and put it in this basket. Nobody's going to see it except our treasurer. And we will use those estimate of giving cards to help make our budget for next year and know how much we can count on. And we thank you for that. Our goal is 100% participation. I know some of us cannot give much and some of us can give greatly, but we can all give something. We can all at least put in our estimate of giving card and let us know, what we can expect in 2019. So let's do that as an act of faith, not as an act of obligation, but an act of thanksgiving, for his love does endure forever. Let's pray for just a moment. Almighty God, the works of your hands are all around us, and we see the beauty of your creation. We see the great story of your relationship with your people and the movement of your will through time. We sense your presence in our very lives. We are amazed at the enormity of your creation, and yet we know that you care for every hair on our head. And so now we want to grow in our life with you. We want to grow in our love with you. And in some way, it's really not about the money. It's about our gratitude and your will for our lives. Help us to be faithful in this moment, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.